Oh, it might be four.
Oh, it is.
Four wickets in four balls. Unbelievable. For Cameron Boyce. Forget Scott Boland. This is the Boyce CG right now.
11 off this over.
Maxi, that's gone dead straight, and nobody's getting that one. Six more. Thompson in. Early. Glenn Maxwell works at leg side. 41 balls it's taken, and he's got his second Big Bash century, Glenn Maxwell.
Wow.
Wow, who said it was just a couple of meaningless dead rubbers? No one told Glenn Maxwell. No one told Cameron Boyce, the former, with a record 154 not out from 64 balls. Just unbelievable viewing last night. And Cameron Boyce of the Renegades, a double hat trick, if you don't mind. Both made Big Bash history in spectacular style. So we thought we better get this man on. Bryce McGain is here for Chadstone Toyota. Stock is available for immediate delivery now at Chadstone Toyota. Bill Laurie style yesterday, Bryce. It was all happening.
It sure was, Sam. Good morning to you. Good morning, Josh. And, yeah, it was an amazing afternoon. And it's a shame the public was probably feeling a bit of Big Bash fatigue. And yep. Maybe there weren't as many eyeballs on it as there should have been for the big final day, the triple header. Some amazing performances, stuff that we're probably not going to see for a long, long time.
So for the Canes, and we need to point this out, Scott Boland was available but was rested, which you understand. Riley Meredith didn't play. Tom Rogers didn't play. And they've got bigger fish to fry. So we get all that. The kids were thrown into the deep end. It turned out to be a very, very deep end. So what did you make of Glenn Maxwell's innings? And Marcus Stoinis can't be overlooked here. Ironically, he did break Marcus's previous record, which was 147, because it was 154 not out from 64 balls. And the ball literally got smacked to just about every blade of grass on the G.
Yeah, right from ball one, he just went after it. Really interesting by the Hobart Hurricane. Sometimes it's good to give everyone a bit of a recharge, I get it, but sometimes momentum is very, very important, and this is really going to dent what they were looking to do. The first three overs were a spin, and maybe they were a bit seduced by the game before where Boyce did take a double hat-trick. But it just seems to be a little bit clever for me with the Hobart Hurricanes. But, didn't Maxwell cash in? His move to the top of the order has been fantastic. He's just played with complete freedom, knowing that he's got a stock full lineup below them. And he just went after it. There were shots in all directions. It was only later in his innings that he brought out the reverse paddle and sweep and started launching those as well. So once he's in one of those moods, it's just about unstoppable. And he just kept going. There was no cameo. It was the full deal last night. Got to face half the innings himself. And, boy, was it a show to behold. It was unbelievable, clean hitting, best in the world stuff. It doesn't get any better.
Our man, the Chief Edmund over here, he's pushing for Glenn Maxwell to get an opportunity with the red ball. Are you in that corner? Could you see something like that happening? We've got a pretty full slate ahead of us with the red ball cricket. Could you see Glenn Maxwell getting another opportunity in that form of the game?
Well, a couple of things to boost Sam's case. I think he's a very good player of spin. He's proven that when he played Test cricket in India previously and scored 100 in the hottest conditions, the hardest environment against the best team in their home ground, he scored 100. So he can handle those type of things. He does have the different gears to play. It'd be great if he belted out 150 off 60 odd balls in a test. That'd be unbelievable. But he's not going to play that way. He does have the game. Yes, he gives you handy off spin as well. He fields like a jet. So he can add enormous value into that Australian test lineup. Of course, we've got a number of tours into the subcontinent, Pakistan, right under our nose after we sort out what we're doing with white ball cricket in the last bit of the Australian summer. But he's got to be every chance to be able to do that. The only dent against that is the fact that he hasn't played a lot of red ball for some time now, which is going to be a bit of a challenge for the selectors to base it on any red ball form. So that's going to be a bit of a challenge. But for me, and the other part to support Sam, I think, is the fact that no other team wants to come up against him. He walks to the wicket. The other team's going, oh, hang on, what are we going to do? Oh, we need to put a man for a reverse sweep. We need to cover all this. He'll put tension into the opposition, and he could take the game away pretty quickly if he's batting at 6 and 7 in sort of an all-rounder slot with that handy spin bowling. It's a good quandary to have for the selectors, I reckon.
Just staying with Maxwell, talk to us about what makes him a special bat, because he's not, you know, Stoinis was just standing and delivering. He was just rocking back onto the back foot, and some of the bowling was short of a length, and he was just crushing them. Whereas Maxwell seems like he can work angles and he can flip the ball over his head and he can play the reverse sweeps. He's not necessarily, well, perhaps he doesn't seem as powerful, but he's just got a really creative way of finding fours.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah, Stoinis is all power. He sees a long on and goes, wow, you know, you're not even in the game. Deep mid-wicket, you're not in the game. And long off, well, I'm not going to worry. I'm just going to stand back and just use my power and muscle him. And some of his miss hits were going for six. That's how powerful he is. Maxwell is equally as powerful. He does it with bat speed. But he also picks the spots that he can hit the ball. He gets inside the line of the ball. He can pick it up over the leg side, which he did early in his innings. And then he started picking them up over point and backward point with those, you know, paddles and reverse hits as well. So, and then he can launch you down the ground. He's an all-round player. Now, he's been doing that since he turned up in the nets at the Victorian training and was a pretty precocious young teenager and started batting in the nets like that. And he put a few noses out of joint, I must say, and he just stuck to it. Older blokes are going, what do you think you're doing? You know, playing all that sort of reverse sweep. Just play a proper shot. But he's developed his game, and it's so contemporary, it's so modern, and now they're just normal shots for him and have been for some time. He used to be the big show, I suppose, and now he's turning that into, I guess, Glenn Maxwell, the game winner, the match winner, the finisher. He's transformed it into some different levels now, which is unbelievable to see.
Hey, Bryce McGain, I've got to ask you about Cameron Boyce because he's been around for a little while now. Now, as a former leggy yourself, that must have brought a smile to your dial, the double hat trick yesterday.
Well, you probably heard me screaming in the background. Unbelievable. I lost my cool there, I must say.
That's allowed. It's
exciting enough. But then the double hat-trick. And then he ended up with five wickets, and then he got a direct hit run-out, which is one off the hand, which I'm predicting he deliberately did, just flicked it onto the stumps to run out Ben Cutting. He just had an amazing game, and what a shame. He was in for the last ball. He could have hit the winning runs as well, but unfortunately hit at the backward point. But his bowling is really unique. What we see with a lot of spin bowlers is they get flat and into the wicket and quick leg spin. He's a bit more traditional where, and it's baffling the batsman. He's a genuine wicket taker. Since he's come back in for the Renegades, he's turned three games now with his bowling. He takes wickets. He bowls it up. There's a lot of drift and drop on the ball, and then he rips it off the surface. He spins it hard. I've always been impressed by him, and we sort of crossed over in our careers. He was starting off and getting into the game. We played a Sheffield Shield final against each other at the MCG. Victoria won, which was nice. But he bowled really well, bowled tons of overs. And we've always had a bit of a connection. I've followed him with great interest because I had a great deal of respect for how he went. He's gone through some tough times recently, and to see him come out the other end as a genuine wicket taker, the Renegades have that they've got a gem right there, and that they've got to hold on to it because despite his age and he maybe not playing, you know, state cricket at the moment, he takes wickets for them and he bowls a little bit different. His leg spin, so credit to him. Well done. I'm really excited for the well, I call him a young man. He's probably a bit older than most going around, but. It was a fantastic effort.
Hey, great to have a chat to you, Bryce. I appreciate your time this morning. So obviously the regular season, as it were, is done now. The two Melbourne teams don't qualify, but the finals, the playoffs, they begin tomorrow, Strikers and Hurricanes. So we're getting down to the point here now, which we love, and always good to have your insights on an SEM breakfast morning. Thanks for that.
Terrific, Sam. Good on you, Josh. Have a ripper day, everyone.